Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When you bear shame for something you did not do, the shame is there nonetheless. Thankfully, the Bible gives us a way to be free of guilt we did not cause. Today, more about maintaining a clear conscience amid circumstances that we could not have controlled. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. Today, more about it's not all your fault and God's remedy for unwanted guilt and shame.
I was speaking to a woman recently who was telling me how that even here in church, she walked around with this heavy weight of shame that she could not see herself as a worthy person. She could not see herself as a daughter of God. And then as God began to lift the shame, as he began to realize that she can walk around, and I encourage her to do that, as indeed someone who has value, someone for whom shame is not the last word. And that can happen to you as well. You'll notice that Jesus Christ bore it. Rodney Clapp, some time ago, wrote these words, speaking about this passage. He says, "Does shame bind us? Jesus was bound. Does shame destroy our reputation? Well, he is despised and rejected of men. Does shame reduce us to silence? He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Does shame expose our apparent weaknesses? He saved others. The crowd mocked. Himself he cannot save. Does shame lead to abandonment? Well, you think of the words of Jesus Christ on the cross, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Does shame diminish us? He was crucified naked, exposed for gawkers to see. He bore our sins, he bore our iniquities, he bore the weight of our guilt and the weight of our shame." So I would say that the first thing that we have to understand as the bottom line is simply this, that shame loses its power in the presence of the cross. And I would like to encourage you, and I know that this is difficult to do, you know, in a congregation where everyone is present. What you should do is to get alone with the Lord and claim the fact that shame no longer has to bind you. It no longer has to debilitate you, whether that's justified shame because of your sin or someone else's sin. The fact is that the Lord is with us to help us and give us the sense of dignity and self-worth that he created us to be. Of course, in the process, what you're going to have to do is to forgive those who have done wrong against you. And remember this, that when you forgive, you not only are blessing these people with the blessing that the Lord has given to you, namely the gift of forgiveness, but also you are releasing them to God. Perhaps your parents are dead and you say, "Well, I can't connect with them anymore. I can't be reconciled to them." That's true. But there comes a time when you submit your anger and your shame and your resentment and you give that to God. There was a woman who was in one state and she took a train to another state where her mother was buried to stand there at her grave and simply let it all spill out. Her mother actually was a prostitute. So here's this young woman getting rid of all this, standing there saying, "God, I give this to you. I can't bear it anymore." And she need not bear it. It wasn't even hers. It was imposed upon her. And to stand there so that she can walk away a free woman. So the first thing that's very important is to come to the cross and to receive the forgiveness of God for our guilt, and also the covering and the help and the deliverance from our shame. And I want to say this, that if God doesn't totally deliver you, if you still struggle afterwards, you should not feel guilty about that. God uses all kinds of people who are still struggling with these issues. But you and I must be willing to see God as greater than whatever may be going on within our hearts. So first of all, shame loses its power at the foot of the cross. And secondly, our self-worth is not based on how we feel. Your self-worth is not based on how you feel. It is really based on who you are in Jesus Christ, if you've received him as your Savior. It is based on the work that he has done and who he calls you to be, a son or a daughter of the Most High. And you and I must know that our feelings and all of the things that have happened to us oftentimes distract us from that. But God wants you to be free to serve him with joy. The goal of our instruction is love that flows from a good conscience and a pure heart. I want you to visualize for a moment that I had up here a silver dollar. I don't, but we've all seen silver dollars. Now let's suppose you're walking along and you see this little thing glimmer in the mud, and you find out what it is, and it's a silver dollar. And the silver dollar is all muddy. And you look at it and you think to yourself, how can this thing possibly have value? But you and I know that if you take that silver dollar and you wash it, it has just as much value as a newly minted silver dollar that you might find in Washington one of these days, because its value was not diminished by where it was found or its dirt. And I say to you today that whether it is because you threw the silver dollar into the mud or somebody pushed you into the mud, either way, God's wonder and God's grace can rescue you if you're willing to come to him and to receive the gift of eternal life and the gift of forgiveness that he gives to all those who come to him. You don't need to be a victim of shame. God can set you free today. A number of years ago, I had a friend who committed adultery. It was a horrible situation. I mean, he lost his wife, of course, in the sense that they were divorced, and set his kids off on a bad trajectory. Those are messes that you can't clean up. But yet at the same time, he loved God, and he so sought God's forgiveness amid the mess. And that's what we have to do. David, after the great mess that he made, he says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, I can rejoice in God again. I can't clean up the mess. All of my tears cannot bring back Uriah back to life. All of my tears cannot restore the purity of Bathsheba. But if God comes and takes all that shame and guilt away, my joy can actually be restored. David could live again with a good conscience, if you can imagine it. And that's where some of you may be at. But I remember riding with my friend in a car, and he was weeping, even though it was years afterwards. He was reliving the mess that he made. But he had in his car a CD by Dave Boyer. Dave Boyer sang here at the Moody Church a couple of years ago, and his signature song is Calvary Covers It All. And instead of the word stain, which is in the song, I'm going to substitute the word shame and see if I remember the words. Calvary covers it all, my past with its sin and shame. My guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all. And even in the midst of brokenness and relationships that cannot be put back together, here was a man who found his joy in God. Because God says, I will make you clean and I will deliver you from that bad conscience. Today, God is saying that to you. And some of you have never trusted Christ as Savior, by the way. This message is a little odd because you have struggled with shame, you've struggled with guilt, and Some of you may be running and not knowing exactly where to go and what to do with this message. If your confidence is not in Jesus, today I invite you to do that, because his death on the cross was a sacrifice for such as sinners. And you know what he did? He anticipated your sin, your mess, your dysfunction, your guilt, and your shame. He anticipated it all, and Jesus said that when I died, I despised, I scorned the shame, and said, I'll bear yours if you believe on me. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you might take this message, and I pray that it may be applied to whomever needs it, which really is probably all of us. I pray, Father, that within the community of God's people, we might here at the Moody Church have safe places in our small groups, in our TMC communities, where people can come and they can be honest, and they know that they are not going to be judged, that they're not going to be despised, because all of us are broken in one way or another. Make us, Father, as a church, a healing community, where knowing that shame cannot ultimately destroy us, we can be honest about our relationships and where we are at, and we shall be accepted and received and prayed for. Grant that, O Lord. Father, I want to claim the promise from the book of Psalms that he binds up our wounds. And we pray today, Lord, that whatever wounds we may have because of the sin of others and our own, help us to know that you bind them up and you want to restore us so that we can know that we belong to you with a sense of dignity, that we are daughters and sons of the Most High God. Bring deliverance to your people. Whatever it is that you are saying to us, Lord, grant us the ability to do, and help us to remember that there is power in the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you are listening to a series of messages entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. I really do believe that God has made provision in such a way that no matter where you have been, no matter what you have done, that your conscience can be clear before God. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like a clear conscience. There is power in a clear conscience. And isn't it wonderful that because of modern technology, these sermons can actually be yours, because you know friends who need to listen to them again and again. And you need to share them with others. And thank you, by the way, for supporting the ministry of Running to Win. You know that we are dependent upon your prayers. We're dependent upon your goodwill, because we are making a difference, but we are doing it together.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up, It's Not All Your Fault, the second in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, a look at narcissism. Don't miss Becoming That Impossible Person. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.